Thank you, Fred. Pleasure to be here. As Fred said, I'm going to be giving you an agronomist perspective on producing conventional cottons again. And with that, let's go ahead and start with the first slide. Just to give you a little bit of background, I'm located down in Corpus Christi, Texas, which is about 150 miles south of here on the Texas Gulf Coast. You see the map of Texas, that's kind of the area I hang out as far as my responsibilities are concerned. Most of the time, though, when I work in cotton, it's up and down the Gulf Coast there, those first one or two tiers of counties there, from bottom there, Brownsville, up to Houston, is where I predominantly work at when it comes to cotton. Plant in February, even sometimes in January, believe it or not, and through April. In that geographical area, rainfall is very diverse, 24 to 42. Average yields, it's predominantly that area is a dry land area. Yields, 600 to 750. Up in upper coast, are going to be more along about 750 and so forth. One thing that's really unique to our area is that we rotate with grain sorghum. Also corn or soybeans, but predominantly in that area, that's a big grain sorghum produce area. And a lot of farmers, you know, depending on the prices of commodities, they will do a, 50-50 rotation and so forth. Kind of, reduces the weed pressure. Kind of rotation is a good integrated pest management tool. And then, two, you're going to be hearing more about insect pressure from the entomologist that's on the program. But a lot of times in our area, insect, meaning boll worm, bud worm, can be very, very light. However, from an agronomist perspective, I've got a lot of practical experience out there. I've also seen fall armyworms down there get pretty scary on conventional cottons, and that's when you can lose a lot of sleep. Anyway, that's my spiel on entomology, Fred, and I promise not to talk any more about that. In our area, 2011, we had roughly about 970,000 acres of cotton planted. This past year, 718,000, based on the numbers from USDA AMS. My thoughts personally, just some pros and cons on, conventional cotton varieties. Dr. Borland, mentioned cost, no technology fee. By the way, we're not here to try to replace transgenics. Again, I look at conventionals as another tool, another option. Low weed pressure, low insect pressure. We definitely have that in a lot of fields in that geographical area. I told you about that. Rotating, weed pressure. A lot of guys that I personally work with, weed pressure is not a big problem. And then another thing, especially the past few years, and if you were over there in the general session, you listened to our climatologist. It's been pretty dry down there, low yielding environment. Sometimes people don't want to spend the money and maybe go low inputs. And then too, I've seen in years when cotton prices are lower, I get more calls on conventional cottons. The cons, I call it no insurance package. You don't have that tool to go over the top with heavy weed pressure, high insect pressure. You don't have that insurance package is what I call it. Wet years up in the upper Gulf Coast area where they get a lot of rain, a lot of them are farming more acres now because of transgenics. And back in the old days with just conventionals, they weren't able to get across as many acres as they can now. And again, I always question, how much seed is available in conventionals. And then, I know we all like to make a profit. Farmers do. Seed companies like to make a profit, but in the past I've seen, a conventional cotton variety come out, and then it becomes a brown bag, and then that's it, so forth. So that's kind of my pros and cons on conventional cottons. Now, as an extension agronomist, these are kind of the questions I get. How do they perform? Mostly from yield standpoint compared to transgenics. Where do you purchase conventional cotton varieties? And then, what varieties do I plant? Do you have any information on that? Of course, how we address that is, conduct cotton variety trials. We've had some interest from farmers in planting some conventional cotton variety trials, and I'll kind of go over some of these with you. Since 2009, we've had roughly six trials, with producers. You can kind of see the counties that are highlighted. That's kind of where we've had these trials. They're on farm, large plot. They're replicated. We plant each variety three or four times, depending on what the farmer wants to do there. So I'm just going to kind of go over quickly, and kind of give a standpoint here. This one still comes to mind here. A lot of times the farmers that I work with, they'll want to stick a transgenic variety in there just to compare. This particular case, we had one transgenic, Delta Pine 0935. And again, the rest are conventional varieties, some of them from Dr. Borland's program, some of them from Dr. Jones's program in LSU. Is it Jones? From LSU.
Meyer.
Meyer, that's right, Dr. Meyer, and so forth. So you can kind of see what we have there. And again, I guess it was interesting when I showed the results of this back in 2009. Again, it was by no means here to say we're going to replace transgenics. And, some people thought we were. And then there was the accusations, they looked there, they yielded pretty close up there, those first two or three, four varieties. Yeah, but how many times did you have to spray for worms? Well, in 2009 in this field, we did not have to spray for worms. So, there wasn't any cost in protecting the conventionals. So, again, depending on the year, the worm pressure and so forth. Conventionals, again, we just try to provide the information and give this as an option to the producers. 2010, another trial here. The farmer put in FarmerMax 1740. You can see that it did well. The conventionals, there's three or four above it. No difference there. But again, they are yielding. They do yield very well. Another trial in 2010. We had 375 in there, and again, you can see that the conventionals, number of them, yielded just as well from there as well. 2011 down the Rio Grande Valley, you can kind of see that we put 1740 in there. We have some conventionals. The UA222 was 1,369 pounds and so forth. So we've got some options down there in our area if we want to plant conventionals. And I guess the last trial here, here's another one in the Upper Gulf Coast. Altex LA-122 is up there at the top. Arkansas University of Arkansas 222, 1740, and so forth. So they do yield. And here's another one as well. And I better move on for the sake of time. Now, besides these trials, the other trials that I conduct every year are what I call my monster cotton variety trials. We welcome all seed companies to participate. They can enter as many varieties as they want, hence monster variety trials. We call them our NVT trials. Normally have 40 to 50 varieties, small plots, two rows by 40 feet, and so forth. We always conduct one down at Corpus Christi, one in the Upper Gulf Coast, and then this year we'll be having one down in the Rio Grande Valley as well. Real quickly, in 2008, there at my office at Corpus, we had 42 entries. I'm just going to kind of show you the first page. Again, we had 42. Not all 42 are on here, but we had a conventional at the top. That was the old TAMCOT 22. 2009, we had 49 entries down there at my office. Again, this is like roughly the top 15, 17 varieties. We had Arkansas 9803 that was at the top. 2011, down there at Corpus Christi, Altex LA-122 was like fourth. And again, we had very few conventional entries in there. But again, they do yield. And that's the point I'm trying to get across. 2012, 41 varieties. We had Seed Source Genetics was fourth. That's a conventional. 210, Seed Source Genetics. And then kind of go over the Upper Coast location. That's up there closer to Houston, to kind of familiarize you with that. Altex LA-122 was like seventh or eighth there, and it is one heck of a horse when it comes to yielding. And again, 2012, LA 122, was up there at fourth out of 50 entries. So that kind of gives you an idea. Yes, I've got the information. They do yield quite well. The companies that I've worked with have been Altex Seed in the past, Seed Source Genetics, and then AmeriCot as well. There may be more that have conventional varieties, but these are the ones that I am familiar with to kind of give you an idea where to start. You've kind of seen some of the varieties that I've talked about that have done good in the past. Altex, LA-122, very, very good variety. And in my opinion, we all have opinion on varieties. Some of these seed companies may have different opinions, but Seed Source Genetics, I like the CT-210, their AU-222, and so forth. AmeriCot, UA-48, I've seen for quite a while. So it kind of gives you an idea of what to expect. So kind of real quickly, and we'll get to the smarter guys after I finish up here, but conventional cotton varieties, they perform well. Got the data to show it. And in the future, I'm sure I'll keep getting entries to look at. It's a viable option when considering what variety to plant. But again, as we all know, no insurance package from a weed and insect standpoint. Farmers may not be able to sleep as good as night certain years, or consultants as well. I know that very well. And again, Fred mentioned the seed availability and so forth. Where's it out, how much we got, and so forth. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up, Fred, but just kind of mention the website where a lot of this information is located, cotton.tamu.edu, or you can also go to varietytesting.tamu.edu as well. I'd like to acknowledge the only way I'm able to do this, Cotton Incorporated provides a lot of support year in and year out for a whole lot of years. Participating seed companies, it's a joy to always work with them. And then these cotton producers that provide the land and the equipment as well. So again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And with that was my last slide, Brad.